Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of 1 Peter, and we're in chapter 2. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. And a guy said, if you don't get your hair cut, you can't be saved. I didn't know it. Wow. It's another story I won't trace, but the fact is people have all kinds of things. What did you do? Really, it's not about what you did. It's about what God did. Well, He gave me a new heart. He gave me my sins forgiven. He gave me a new focus, because repentance means metanoia, means with the mind. And when I begin to understand truth, I begin to see lie. And when the lights began to go on in my heart, I began to realize I was taking those guys to hell that I was running around with. Couldn't do that anymore. First steps of a Christian ought to be the church steps. I didn't know that right away. But I did go to church, because when I was lost, I went to the party. I wasn't going to the party anymore. So I went to the party at church. That's where the people were that knew God and that was excited about God. In fact, the midweek service is where people really are excited about God. Okay, they said, I'm going to do something more. I'm going to go get something, even when maybe it's not going to be as fun or exciting. And that's the problem with pageantry, isn't it? If you win people with pageantry, you got to keep them with that. But Jesus is the one. And I want you to know something about this word gracious. The word gracious in this passage, if so be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Literally, this is the same word that is in this verse that you're familiar with. My yoke is easy. Isn't that interesting? The word easy. If so be you have found out that the Lord is easy. Okay, you say, well, easy, what does it mean? Well, that's just one verse. Let me give you another one. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. He's talking to Jewish people who thought they were superior to the Gentiles. He says, do you despise the riches and goodness and forbearance and long-suffering of God? Not knowing that the goodness, here's the word, goodness. The goodness of God leads to repentance. You know what that is? That's the easiness of God. A lot of people think of God and they think of thunderbolts and lightning. He's a mean God. He's punishing everybody. No, He isn't. He'll send people to hell. But do you notice that sometimes a person can be a real rascal and they live to be 90, 95 years old? God's not willing that he should perish. I think it was Hugh Hefner who did the Playboy thing. When he in his 90s, he dies. A bad man, corrupted so much. Why did God wait? I don't know. I'd have kind of zapped him right away when I saw what he was doing to the generations that were coming up under his influence, right? But God is waiting. There was a song years ago Mark Lowry used to sing. He said, I don't know what a sinner you are, but I know what a Savior He is. Isn't that good? I know what a Savior is. And no matter where you are, He can save you. And this word literally has at its core the idea, and I love this when I unpacked it. The lexicographers, they come up with these background and they put it all together and they said, it comes from a word that means to borrow, it means to graze, it means to touch lightly. Now, if you're married, you know what it is to walk by your wife or husband and touch them lightly. You remember that old song, you know, give me flowers or whatever, and they talked about touching as they went by. This is the concept. God touches when He goes by. He reveals Himself to the lost man. Do not ever doubt that. There can be good moral people who are lost. And God has tried to get their attention, and somewhere they're galvanized their cell. And if they get to the end of the road, they're going to think, my goodness is going to be okay. Goodness can't do it because it's corrupted by your sin. You need Jesus. That's what the truth of the matter is. Another place is in Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another. Same word. And so, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. In other words, He's grazed you. He's shown you Himself little by little. And maybe little stuff because you weren't in a storm then. But in that pew, God spoke to you. You felt your heart pounding 100 miles an hour thinking, I need to listen to God. When you were younger, now you're older and you can take it. You know, we get better at things, right? We can take it now. We can take conviction. Just say, ah, yeah, it's just a thing. That's unfortunate, but it's true. And every now and then we have to go back and unshed some of the skin on our heart. In times like these, good time to get back on the altar, right? And think, God, I just need you. Because everything else is a mess down here. Verse 4 says, to whom coming, you're going to the Lord, to whom coming as unto a living stone. So we've seen Him talk about your desire. Now He's talking about direction. Because this whole idea in verse 4 is talking about coming to a living stone. Other translations use the word lively stone. We've seen the living hope we were given in chapter 1. Now we have the living stone. And what he's talking about is this is a stone that is in motion. It's in process. In other words, he's building his church. If you have a set of blueprints and you're looking at this building on a set of blueprints, it's moot. Building's already built. You can say, well, they should have put this here, but that's not the point. Jesus is a living stone. He's building now. He just kicked you out of Jerusalem, okay? He just kicked you out of your patriotism. And he's saying, you're going to be Jonah? Or are you going to run with me? Shoot your lines from me. He is called the chief cornerstone in verse 6. He's the cornerstone. We're living stones. And this thing's in motion. That's why it's living. We're living. We don't know where to stand yet. Where do I go? It's a beautiful picture. You need direction now. Because it's not church as usual, thank God. You know, I'll tell you what, as a pastor, I can tell you through the history of my experience of 30 years in the ministry, it's unfortunate the power that the people have on the preacher. If you don't show up, my heart's broken. And I'm just telling you because there are other preachers and people who are listening, you take the wind out of their sails. I'm not going to go support that. Do you know what he said? Love fervently. Why? Because we're in a storm and people aren't. And so the pastors know, what's the wind like? You know what the wind's like from my perspective? Jesus is coming. Because he said at the last days there's going to be Laodicea. That's what I'm seeing out there. And I'm just telling you that he's just told us that when things are in an upheaval, we need to draw closer, more fervently, more deliberately. Because we need to shoot our lines from Jesus. If you can't get the words I'm giving you from week to week on your own, especially, because sometimes you can't be here, but if you can't get them, get on the podcast, find good preachers, get on our website, sermonaudio.com, get our messages, listen to them. I'm telling you, God said he's building his church, and he's even doing it now. Shoot your lines from Jesus. And that old book that came out that was a little bit sentimentalism kind of thing, what would Jesus do? Okay, what would he do? What would he do? Can I get down to it? Who would he call? Who would he visit? Who would he spend time with? He says, you're being built up in verse 5, a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. What kind of sacrifices? Well, we talked about them already. We talked about security. Brag on Jesus. You just let people know, I know that I know that I know that I know Jesus. And it's not about me. It never was. It was all him. He did it. He saved me. Sobriety. Living a righteous life. He said, be holy as I'm holy. It's what the priests were told to do. Leviticus chapter 9. Don't drink. When you go in and serve, you are the temple. So you got to work that out. So don't be drinking. He says, now, also, you need to be a person who has integrity. You were saved unto a job. You guys have all been there where somebody was at work and they didn't do their job. And you didn't want to say anything, but they're not doing their job. He says, don't let that be you. It's funny because that whole thing about glory that I said, you keep your eye on, that rejoicing that comes from security. He tells pastors in the end that if they will be faithful in their task, which they may be reluctant to take that task in chapter 5, he says, there will be a crown of glory laid up for you. Again, keep your eye on the word glory. He says, you're supposed to offer up spiritual sacrifices. It's a sacrifice for you to brag on Jesus in your world. Might cost you a job, might cost you something. They're saying right now on the Twitter thing, they're going to make sure there are no anonymous people, you know, which would be kind of a place where somebody could throw darts from behind a rock. You know, nobody knows who they are. And they're saying they're not going to do, you know, they're going to have any of that. Own up, own it, own it. You know, you say it, you own it. And I kind of agree with that, although I don't like the idea of the fact that this man who's got all this power is going to know everything you ever said. But I do like the fact, because they're going to know it anyway. They already know it on your phone. They're listening into your phone. If they want to pull up your records, they can find something. Okay? They aren't listening. Nobody's there listening, but they're recording. It's there. Okay? They want you, they can get you. I believe that. Now, the Bible tells us that these days are going to be hard, and that what we have to have is we have to have this idea that God wants glory to shine. It's revelation of Jesus. When he talks about the revelation of Jesus in chapter 1, you are it. Okay? The Word is in you. And the Word of God never will fail. It will abide forever. So you take the Word to your world and it will redound. And that's what chapter 1 in doctrinal terms taught us. And now here he is saying we are spiritual priests. Some people think there's a difference between the pastors and the people. The only difference is gifts. My gift was a gift to speak. Yours is a gift to serve in some other way. Ministry, counseling, helps, whatever. He's got these listed gifts. But what he's saying to us is he's saying we're all believer priests. What's your gift? And are you using it for God if you're His child? The Bible says we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Gentile. He says, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. So you got it. We got a gift somewhere in there. And that gift is supposed to be put into service for God, not for yourself, but for God. You can rejoice in it, but it's for God. Verse 6 says, wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And it says, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. He's quoting from the book of Isaiah in chapter 28. And it's funny because he says, he that believeth in Isaiah, it says, he that believeth shall not make haste. In other words, he won't be hasty. He won't be rattled by the world in which he lives. If you're trusting in Jesus, you won't be rattled. You'll be unflappable. And so what he's telling us is he's saying, you are a living stone. Jesus is a living stone. Why is it living? It's because it's a work in progress. You need to shoot your lines from him. Why is it precious? Why is he precious? It's mentioned in verse 6. It's mentioned in verse 7. He's precious, precious, precious. Why? Because he's needed now. The blueprints are needed now. Okay, you can't just do this by the seat of your pants. We all are so used to pulling on our GPS on our phone and say, I don't need to worry about it. I remember years ago, a man would just hit himself in the head before he would go up and ask somebody for directions. Now he's got a girl talking to him on the thing saying, turn left at the next thing. You know, it's one of those things where you just don't want to ask for directions. But now we got a GPS. Isn't that funny? We just lean on it right now. No, the Bible says that he's a living stone. We're living stones. We need the directions. We're shooting our lines from him. Are you shooting your lines from him? Now, it's okay to shoot your lines from the pastor to some degree because he's, you know, maybe older in the faith. But after a while, come on now, after a while, we ought to shoot our own lines. I know people who got saved because they started attending a church saying, I need to go to church. They went to a church that was not a very sound church. And they began to read their Bible. And they got out of the unsound church and found a good Baptist church. You say, well, that was a nice plug. Yeah, it was. Give you another one. Zig Ziglar was asked, what would you be if you weren't a Baptist? He said, I'd be ashamed. You know, if I weren't a Baptist. I'm telling you guys, this is not for nothing. People who are ashamed of Jesus, people who are ashamed of the name Baptist, I mean, you know what? This whole world, they don't like Jesus. If you're going to affiliate with Jesus, don't do it under a cloak of darkness. Blaze that thing. Tell them you're a Christian. Wear a pin on your shirt. Don't put a bumper sticker on your car. Because I know how y'all drive. Okay? So, you know, try to be thinking about these things. No, he says he's precious. Why is he precious? Because you need it. You ever had a time where you've done something and you had the plans? Maybe you did some painting and it was some kind of mixable paint? Whatever it was, you had to read the directions after you failed three times. That's the way we sometimes do our Christian faith. It says, unto you, verse 7, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Why? Because you need him now. And he says in verse 8, he's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Now, what's interesting about this is the builders were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leadership. They rejected Jesus. Do you think that happens today? And I'm not talking about Jewish people because the church is on deck now. Do you think there are religious leaders that reject Jesus? Well, sure. It's getting done more and more. Some of the great denominations of the past were wonderful until they weren't. One thing about having a hierarchy is you only got to get a couple people corrupted up here. And then everybody gets it on them, you know. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.